Father, we just lift your name today, Lord, that you would continue to lead us and guide us, King Jesus, that we'd see your eyes, see your face, know your closeness, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, that you go deep into our hearts, God, today. Thank you, Lord. We resonate with you, Jesus. You know, when the Lord silences our fears or the fears, he does that through the great exchange. And the great exchange already took place at the cross, took place at the grave and the resurrection. And so it already took place. So he's saying, okay, my kids, you'll get to catch up with that. That's what he's doing. So there's an exchange. And so fear is in our midst. Fear is around the world. ISIS is feared. You know, all the things that we hear about in the news seem to be fear-based and fear-related. And the Lord is saying the way to be sustained in this season and be overcoming in this season is to really have a soul that's possessed by fear, not possessed by fear, that is possessed by joy, possessed by joy. That's what the Lord wants. It's a soul that's possessed by joy, by peace. And it's not just saying, I want that, I want that, I want to get there. No, it's for our souls to be possessed, for our spirits to rise, for our souls to be overcome by joy, our souls to know, our mind to know, our wills to know, and our emotions to know that you are our strength, you are joy. And no matter what it looks like, no matter what it seems like, no matter what it feels like, no matter what my mind says, that I'm at peace and I'm in joy because you're on the throne and nothing gets past you. And that I love you and I know you and I trust you and I contend for everything that you paid for at the resurrection. Everything. And that includes the miraculous. That includes healings and deliverances and movements and nations being changed in a day. Do we believe that? Do we believe that today? We have Maria in our midst, and we've been contending and believing for all this cancer to be completely eradicated. King Jesus knows that. We stand on his word. We stand in his presence. We stand in joy and for other things that we are believing for and contending for. And there's a creative tension intended by God himself in the area of just saying, I don't have any idea what to do. Here I am, and I'm contending against the enemy. The Lord says, both are true. Both are true. And a soul that's in joy, a soul that's overcome by joy, understands how this creative tension works. And what we're doing in this place is believing God's word in his presence and standing on who he is. No matter what we see, no matter what we feel, no matter what we hear, and everything gets filtered through the fingers of love and the Lord's heart that way. So I'm excited today. When the Lord silences fear, he does that by replacing anything that bothers us, fearfully oriented, with his peace and his joy and the understanding of heaven, even if we don't understand. That is the way he wants us to be able to stand now and in these last of the last days. Who's all in with that? That's the heart of King Jesus. And he's saying, I want to grow us up. I want to grow up our intimacy together, so that we can understand and connect together, and have the same heart, that we're moving together with the same purpose and the same vision. Okay, we had two things that happened this last week, and I've not seen the pictures put together or anything like that. Last week for our mission picnic, it was phenomenal. Thank you guys for coming out and all the kids for participating, and the heart of God that was so prevalent here, it was just electrifying. And we saw pictures and saw a video that I hadn't seen, had no idea what was coming, and I cried through most of it. It was amazing. It's like, oh my gosh, and there's so much more. So Carly has a recap of all of that. And are we starting? We also had a work day yesterday, which we have some great pictures that we'll show you. So, now this is going to be put together with music behind it, but something, But something preempted that this morning. Carly would have had that. She had that in her heart, and something else came up. Look at this. These are amazing. Starts out with the history of Frontline, and then carrying that into the next place that God has for us. And thank you guys for everyone who put this together. It was sorry for this. Are these amazing? Can you see into the future? Lord, bring the future into now. Look at this. So much vision. I really believe that this picnic really pleased the Lord to bring us all into remembrance of Him, not just see how cute the kids are, but to see the destiny. See the destiny of what's coming. Secret code evangelism. International buffet. Look at this. It's so good. That was really powerful. And we're going to have an extension of thank you, guys. And we're going to have an extension of that in the middle of August. We're going to give a Canton mission trip title something else. But we're also, I love this. What we're also going to do is we're going to take our kids and parents and family and friends, so all of us here, and we're going to have something very special for the children, for these Green Light Mission kids. Go into soup kitchens, go into the downtown, go do something that will take us into another place where they can pray for others, they can pray for healing. Many people can share and give a cold drink of water to someone, and we're doing that. We want to do that, and we also, as we're demonstrating the heart of Jesus, we want to give an opportunity for people to get saved, healed, and delivered with that. So we're going to combine that, and that's going to be, we believe it's this, I think I have the date, 16th and 17th or 17th and 18th. It's the middle of July, and then Sunday morning it would end. So it would be Friday night, Friday all day, Friday night, Saturday all day, Saturday night, Sunday morning. And so we'll be staying overnight at the Larson's house, and I will explain to you how that's going to work. When I say it's for everybody, there'll be parts that would be for the entire church, so other parts may not be. So we'll just let you know as that unfolds. And Lawrence is heading that up. He graciously said yes to that. So we praise God for that. We also have a young adult retreat similar to what the majority of you leaders went through. And we're looking for, you know, some type of oversight of that and how God's going to put that together. But we know that we're supposed to be doing that. So that's coming, and that's going to be the last weekend in October, which I think is the 26th, 27th, and 28th, if I'm not mistaken. So you can mark your calendars for that. And October 4, 5, 6. There's a lot going on in September too, but I'm bumping this so that you can see some of these things that you have to make plans for even in advance for that, you would do it. So we have many world changers coming, let's put it that way. We've already announced it, and you can look on the website for more. But 4, 5, 6, and 7 is Relentless Pursuit of October. So we're switching, so we'll have the young adult retreat after that. So yay! So we also have, Carly, did you want to say something, or? Or is there a video, or I don't know what we've got. This is for yesterday. We had an amazing work day, and Some of us were able to spend our day out here and just help make this place look good. Clean sweep at Frontline. He worked so hard that the whole sole of his shoe came off completely, and he had to go home and get other boots. Thank you guys for doing this.
Yes, it's going to make it.
So you can look around and see what's been done. There was a lot of effort here. This is amazing. You should, honestly, this parking lot has been completely redone. Thank you, Aaron, so much for that. And Kim and Rick headed this whole thing up. Thank you, Rogers, for that. And Gabriel was able to serve somebody while he's having fun. So much fun. You're going to love that one. You should see it now. It's so amazing in there. So amazing. There's hardly anything in it. And I don't know what they pitched. I don't want to know. Oh, yeah. You want to take a look at the children's area. It doesn't look like that anymore. It looks really great. And we have plans for extension of that as well. However, we're going to do it. Oh, yeah. We still have lots of work to do. We did get to finish it. That was so much fun. Yeah. It's nice. Oh, my gosh. I hope you didn't throw that out. Thank you. It's so good. The unseen. Thank you. Thank you for all your help. Appreciate you guys. So if you showed up, you were on that. So thank you. Thank you so much for your help. And we'll have another time that we're going to do more, because we didn't get to trim some of the trees and different things. But, you know, even when it was raining, stayed out in the rain. I felt like I was in Mozambique. It was so much fun. And then went back and the sun came out, and the Lord just really drew us together. It was a sweet camaraderie, so really appreciate you guys. So thank you very much. And did you have a message about?
Yeah, a few things, yeah. So Jamie was here with us too. I didn't manage to get a picture of her. I noticed that later. She went through lots and lots of old children's curriculum things and determined what we should keep and what we didn't need anymore. So thank you, James, and everybody. It was so wonderful to have all of you here helping those that were able to make it, so we really appreciate that. Just some other things to announce is our summer celebration for Kingdom Kids and junior hires is coming up June 20th to the 23rd. It's going to be a Wednesday night through a Friday evening, and then the Friday evening, there's going to be a parents' night or family night, so parents and other siblings are welcome to come to hear about all that we learned throughout the week, and then after that, we'll be kicking off a junior high all-nighter, so very excited about that. If you know anybody ranging ages 3 through junior high, please make sure you grab one of these awesome brochures on your way out, and the registration information and everything that you need is on this. So if there's anyone you can think to invite, neighbors, friends, relatives, please make sure you grab as many of these as you need to be able to do that this week, because it's coming up in just a couple weeks, so we want to make sure to get these out this week. And we also do need some donations for that. That's what the table in the foyer with the blue tablecloth is all about. You'll see there's lists and slips, so if you could just take a minute before you leave today to browse through that, and anything that you realize, oh, I have that at my house, I could donate it, or I'd like it back. All of that information is on the form, so you can just find the items that you would like to donate and fill out the form, bring them all back next week, and leave them in that donation bin. We would really appreciate that. And then on June 22nd, Friday, we have our healing rooms here. So that's the second and fourth Friday of every month. So that is going to be going on during the family night. We'll make sure there's a room available for that if anyone wants to come in and receive prayer for healing. And then Saturday the 23rd will be our next Edge for young adults with a coffee house at 6 p.m., worship and a message 7 to 9 p.m. We just had one last night. It was really fun, awesome time. It's always fun to see those that are able to make it out for that. And then June 27th through Saturday, June 30th, is our Jackson Community Celebration. So that is over at Jackson North Park, and it's similar to what we do down at First Friday, where we draw personal pictures for people, asking God for a word to encourage them. And we also offer prayer. We make balloon animals and hand out balloons. So it's something that the whole family can help with right here down the road from us as a way to reach out to those in our community. This is the sign-up sheet for it. It will also be on the table in the back. As you can see, it's rather blank. So please also take a look at that, take a look at those dates and times, and see where you might be able to come commit to an hour, two, three, four, however many the Lord would lead during that time. We would love to have you be part of it. Thank you.
It's been quite a week. Lots been going on, and there's a message that I'm going to give, that God has for me, that I'm asking that if you're going with the kids, that you will take the time this week, in fact, at the beginning, to listen to it. I've asked that before. I'm asking, this is a global request, and so I'm asking you to do that. I'm not going to give it right now with all the little kids in here, but I'm asking you to do that, and there'll be a handout there as well. And there's one that I gave 2 weeks ago, that I feel is important about some place that we're going that will help you understand what's going on in this message. And I think it's very extremely important for us to have the right frame of mind, because if we're going in different directions and doing our own thing and we're not collectively working together, we're going to go just so far with our vision. And so that was interesting yesterday when we had as many hands who would come out yesterday to help. Some were able to be here all day and some couldn't be here the entire time, but those that were able to be here were able to see there was a synergy in us coming together as a sweet camaraderie to be able to do some of the things that are needed to have happen for the rest of it to go through, the rest of the things that we do. So we want to steward well what God's given us. So we steward our own personal walk, but we also steward that which he's given us through that walk and through being part of us. So that happened yesterday. And then, I know some were out of town for the mission picnic and things like that. But I'm just saying, as we understand what we're doing and we're diving in as much as we're able to, as much as we're willing to, as much as we can, as much as God's calling us, however you want to define it, that's going to help us with that, that team effort, that team approach, to be able to carry this vision beyond. And so when I give this message, you'll understand a little bit more why I'm saying that. It's extremely important, I believe, for missions, for the future, for what we're doing and where we're going and what's happening, okay? So God bless you and release you all to kingdom land. See you all later. Yeah. No, I don't think. No. Okay, and this is being recorded, right, Steph? Make sure we don't have a glitch. Thank you, Lord. Carly, she ran some copies off of things, some handout. If you guys could grab one. Okay, there she is. Can you guys help her? We'd like everybody in here to have this. And these are actually excerpts from Heidi and Rollins' book. It's called Reckless Devotion. And this is a staple we have in our house. We just kind of pick it up and look at it. It's just a devotion, not just, but it's a devotional, and it's an easy read, except it'll kill your heart. And so it's Reckless Devotion, 365 Days into the Heart of Radical Love. And I think if I ask that question, who would be interested in increasing their love capacity, increasing our love capacity, I really believe everybody would say yes. So this has been something that's been just encouraging and strengthening. And this morning, and I was going through some things that the Lord was giving me. Maybe you've seen some Facebook posts out there, and so I want to address some of those. And I just felt like the Lord was saying, was highlighting some places that are actually at the back of this. And so, you know, when there's a progression, 365 days of devotion, then, you know, when you get down to the last, you know, few, I don't know, 10, 20 pages or something, there's an assumption that we're building and building and building and building up to that. And so there's a section in the end, I'm asking, don't read it yet, if you would, just kind of track with me for a minute, if you would. That if you don't want to read about this, you don't have to read about this. But I think if anyone wants to progress in the area of maturity, I think you'll be willing to do that. Because we've been preaching and releasing and singing and praying and saying, Lord, we want to expand. We want to go lower. We want to understand what it means to go lower. We want to understand what it means to steward everything you've given us well. We can hear messages about that. We need to steward what we've been given. That's great. And it's not just about going lower and dying to yourself. That's great. We can hear that. But when we enter into the posture of what that looks like from Jesus' perspective, whew, that's a whole different realm. How many of you know that you can give a message up here? Our mission training weekend folks and even the Edge last night are us up here, we can give a message, and that message will fall on ears that are either open, partially open, want to be open, don't care to be open, and same with the hearts, because when we are really, really hungry for more of Jesus, we'll be hungry for the fullness of his word, the full counsel of his word, not just what makes us feel good, and we will seek out those areas and people who will help us get to that place. And if we really want that. If we don't, we will go where our itching ears want to hear because it'll make us feel better. And some of us still maybe do that at times. I don't know about you, but I think we're human and we do those kinds of things. But if we can't recognize that, then we'll stay, you know, kind of okay, maybe, but we won't mature. We won't go into the really deep stuff. Deep, deep, deeper. And the Lord is saying, I want you to go deeper because there are deeper things coming and deeper things happening. And so it's with great joy that the Lord highlighted this to me earlier today, what to pass out about the area of persecution and suffering. And I thought, oh, this is good. I'll just release this. And those who are hungry will go, wow, I can't wait. And those who aren't will just ignore me, which is, that happens. I read something from Keeping the Fire here a couple weeks ago. And if that was not provoking to the point of saying, what's going on here? What does that mean? Then it could be that some of the ears are closed and not wanting to be provoked. And provoking sometimes we think is a bad thing, but it's not. When the Lord's provoking us, he's provoking us to love. He's provoking us to not just say, take away fear, take away fear, take away fear. He's provoking us to get into the place where fear is not finding a place to connect in us. So we don't have to keep fighting fear off. Fear is not able to penetrate. That's what God has for us. That's where he's taking us. That's where he wants us to go. Because he knows that's who Jesus is. That's who Jesus was. And Jesus went through everything in his life here on this earth to be able to complete his mandate, complete his purposes, complete everything on this earth for us. And so there was suffering, there was persecution, and we can celebrate that, but when it comes close to us, we get maybe a little squirrely about that, and the Lord says, you know, this is my life, and my life in your heart may look like this in some degree, to some degree more than others. And I'm going to not only help you move towards this in understanding, unpacking revelation, understanding spiritual revelation, spiritual knowledge, and having that capacity of heart in you, but you're going to actually be able to help somebody else out, and maybe many people. And that's kind of where we're going and getting. And that's not necessarily a message that is understood maybe by a lot of people, but God wants us to keep opening that up so that the messages of love coming from God himself through us, through the word, hopefully through as we're worshiping him, all of these things are lifting us to a deeper place in his heart. And it just doesn't sound like a bunch of gobbledygook. It's a bunch of spiritual gobbledygook where we leave here and go, what did she say? What was that about? What are my kids going to have to face? You know what I mean? God is saying, I want you to so get this that there's something that changes in your heart that will move in a way that you'll be able to look at things differently, and you'll be propelled to go stand in a ditch all day. Do you see what I'm saying? This is not, why weren't you there? Pastor Bill was there. Where were you? I'm not doing that. But I'm saying it'll propel you to think, wow, what do I do? What am I doing? Let me stop. What am I doing? Because when we get news that's tough, we better know how to handle it or know what to do with it more and more and more so that we are not afraid and that we're not reacting and we're not responding in fear. When the Lord starts opening up an avenue for us to walk through, and it doesn't feel really very good, our go-to is really what the Lord's wanting to deal with in our hearts and help us with, our go-to. If we're going to him and saying, I'm ready, help me, let's do this, this will take us further, faster, and then there's a momentum. Something about the mission picnic, if you were here, and again, if you weren't, this is no condemnation, just saying, if you were here, there was something in the air. I don't know what you want to call it. It was like, this is so exciting. Oh my gosh, everybody's here. And it's not everybody. Some couldn't come, and that's fine. But I'm saying there was this sense of team and camaraderie and the future, as well as painting a picture of the past, and then looking at these little angels in their faces, knowing as much as they could about a country or whatever, you know, and saying, my gosh, Lord, what are you doing? Show me something bigger than my own little world with my own little family. Show me something beyond that for me so that I can see bigger. I can see beyond that. And so I was just really encouraged as I was crying, you know, going, oh, Lord, oh, my gosh, that's amazing. Oh, and I was so encouraged even on Tuesday night, where the Lord gave two, let me tell you something, he gave two visions that were completely different in constructs, okay, but the same vision. It was amazing to me. And it was, yes, Jesus is in heaven, yes, he's doing these things, I'm not minimizing that, it was just way cool. But there was something different about the last 25 minutes or so of worship on Tuesday night. I can't put my finger on it. I was talking to some people about it. I don't know. But did you sense that? Did you feel that? Yes. Do we know what that is? Yes, Jesus. Has he invaded here before? Yes. But there was still, there were new sounds that were released, new sounds in the instruments, new sound in the keys, new sound in the voices, new sound. I'm not even sure about the guitar, maybe new sound for that too. I don't know. All I know is I heard new sounds in the instruments for sure that over here and probably over there too. And anybody else who was playing an instrument. There was a resonating with heaven that was so electrifying, so amazing. And I'm having a vision on the floor, but many people were, because there was such a supernatural, sweet presence here that just started to climb and kept going. So this vision that these two women had in here were the same thing. The same vision, but formulated differently. And it was about the heart of Jesus and what he's doing very specifically for us. And it's like, wow, God, this makes me cry even more than last Sunday. I was like, this is, whoa, look at you, God. He's all about knitting hearts together. Knitting hearts from the past, knitting hearts in the future, knitting hearts right now. That's what he wants to do. But if we go and do what we think, if we aren't in the frame of how he's knitting those hearts, if we're part of a group, then it's hard to feel that. It's hard to understand. But that's the nature of our knitting Jesus. So it's with that heart that I felt that God was saying, pass these out. And then if you're interested in knowing what I did read from the son of the leaders of this movement here, of Iris, the son who's grown up, who's in his 30s, you can see this. You don't have to get the book, but you can get it online. It was posted, or it was read out loud online 2 weeks ago. And listen to it. Listen to the heart of someone who at least has gotten to the place of understanding what price his parents have paid, but even more than that, what lineage looks like. So, when lineage looks like something in the spirit, he wants all of us to capture it, from the oldest to the youngest, and that's our role, to keep that flowing. And if we're not flowing in that, if God has planted us in a, you know, with his purposes and vision in mind, then we just miss out. And we don't stand in the ditches together. The trench, that picture was a visual, honestly. It wasn't, look at Papa Bill, he's down there, he's in there. You know, it's standing in the trenches. That's the idea. It was a spiritual picture of the cleanup. The Lord is cleaning up, and he's saying, I'm cleaning up the soulish realm so that there's not this terrible tension with our spirits rising and our soul is not at peace with the spirit. That's an ongoing process for us for sure. But as I said in the message 2 weeks ago, the process, God's process, is not what we necessarily like, think, or agree it should be. If we say, this is what I'm doing, this is my process, instead of what he's defining that might be a little more uncomfortable at times, then that's where the disconnect can be. And that's when we're honest before the Lord, then the Lord can unpack that. And then something can shift just like this. When we get revelation from heaven of something, then we can take a scripture that we've looked at oodles of times and go, oh my gosh, that's for me. That's what it means. Way back, and somebody can help me with the dates. I don't remember the date. It was early on when we were doing a retreat. And we had dog tags that we stamped. And it was Philippians 3:10. I want to know you and the power of your resurrection and share in the fellowship of your sufferings. Do you anybody remember what year? I was thinking about that this morning. I wish I had those. Anybody have those still? They were little silver tags. We gave everybody those dog tags out as, you know, hey, this is where we're going. That was early, a long time ago. Do you guys remember? Fusion? When was that, guys? Long time. I know, in the archives somewhere. But it was really cool. It's like, oh my goodness, Fusion, that's so good. All right, so let me tell you what's going on. Wait 1 second, I'm going to get my phone up. How many of you know that we're official affiliates of Iris? Okay? And so we've been partnering with Iris since 2003, and they have an affiliate designation where we're still frontline, but we're family. And we affiliate. So we've been doing that. And there are not a lot of affiliates if you want to go to the website and see. But we are. And so we know what's going on. And the last three global team meetings, I have been there in Pemba and very familiar with how things work and roll and run and people and all that. And typically when we go to Mozambique, we work from the mid to the south. In the very beginning, we did drive all the way up one time, all the way to Pemba. That was insane. That was crazy. 2 days of driving. And then we flew back. How many? 8 days, not 2 days. Thank you. It was crazy. It was a long time. It's a very large country. I said two. That's really off. And we ministered along the way. It wasn't the typical 24-hour, let's go to Sola and just keep going and never stop. So it wasn't that. But we did take a long time. And then since that time, I have been going up there, when they have these. And they're not very large. These global team meetings are not large. So it's not like, oh my gosh, there's thousands of people. No, it's a fairly small group. And so today, when I was talking with a fellow affiliate and leader who's in Virginia about what's going on in Pemba, northern Mozambique, he was filling me in on some things that I needed some clarification on, because I've been trying to get through to Pastor Jose, to Heidi, to her PA, Laura, and just, you know, I just texted and such, and trying to make calls now. So I was calling my friend, our friend Brian, who's in Virginia, because he's leaving, going tomorrow to Mozambique. And you, if you're on Facebook, you'll see that Heidi's been asking for prayer for the last period of number of days. And so she's been very direct, somewhat direct, saying that you know, there's been a lot of persecution. There's been persecution up in Cabo Delgado in that area, and Pemba is a little town in this area, in that province. And so there are villages that they've planted churches in that are, you know, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours away, and there's been a lot of persecution. I've read a bunch of things. Some people are automatically calling it ISIS. Some people are not. Some people are saying it's just, it's terrorism in general. We're not labeling it. Iris is not saying that. These are other people now. So obviously you guys are flooding me with, did you know, did you know, did you know? Yes, 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 yes. And so and that's fine. Good for you. But you're getting messages in your private messages on Facebook, and it's gone viral. And when I first heard about some of the details of this, Pastor Bill and I looked at each other, because we know Heidi and Roland, and we know that the last thing they would ever want, the last thing, would be any kind of fear spreading. That's just not who they are, okay? Pastor Jose, many years ago, when they thought there were bombs going off in Maputo, the southern base, he was there, and he got all the kids in the children's center. While everyone else might be freaking out, there weren't bombs. It was some kind of fireworks explosion that looked like the whole world was ending in Maputo, but it was scary enough. And so he got everybody, and I think he has shared about this here. And he got everybody, and he brought them into the area around the prayer hut. Those of you know what the prayer hut is or was, that whole area outside of the Bible school. And he got as many packed in, and they just started worshiping the Lord. And he was in such peace. He was in such joy. And he said, here we are. We're in the hands of Jesus. Now, this is a man who has seen every miracle you can imagine. He's seen all kinds of miracles. He loves us. We love him. We go into the villages, and we're preaching the gospel, and we're declaring healing and deliverance, and we see blind eyes open and deaf ears, and we go after it. We see demons flee. We see all kinds of things happen, and it increases every year. And so, you know, that's Mr. Haha, very strong man of peace and deep joy and assurance that the Lord knows what's going on and the devil is not winning. And so, you know, it's really fun to be associated with someone so fun that way. And nothing touched Iris, except I think there was one thing that came over and hit the side of the one church building to try to, you know, knock some bricks out or something. That's it. Nothing, and that was in the compound, but nothing got through in any way, shape, or form. There were all kinds of physical casualties and houses damaged and all kinds of chaos. It was really rough in Maputo, but Iris was basically untouched. And that's how God did that. It's like, yes, you stand on that. On the other side of things, I know personally things that are not posted on the Facebook page or something, where there have been some terrorizing things that have happened over the years. And it's just ugly. It's like, oh my gosh. And it's not necessarily, it's not hidden, but it's not something that is necessarily for every ear, because it could breed fear. But on the other side of things, if you read some of the materials, or even if you don't, if you listen here, you can get and go to their website, or you hear just more about this, what we do in Mozambique, or others do, or around the world. The Lord comes in like a flood and changes situations, translates people, you know, things happen, and the miraculous occurs as you press in. So as you know, Heidi was dying of, maybe you don't know, but she was dying of some terrible thing inside of her. And she was propelled by the Lord to fly all the way to Toronto. And they told her as she was dying, she's not going to live. That's it. You need to be in the presence of God. She felt God was saying in a different way. So that's what's going to happen. So she flew against any orders, any doctor's orders. And she told Roland to go out and get her running shoes. So he says, okay. So he goes to the local Walmart, not whatever it's called, and gets running shoes. And so they flew there, and some of us, as you know also, were there in Toronto so many years ago, and we saw her get healed on the stage. She could barely even get up. And they had IVs ready for her when she got there. She was literally dying. And the Lord took her right to that brink, and then, phew, and he spoke over her, Zechariah 2, 2, 4, and 5, and he spoke over her about a wall of fire. Okay, being released. And then we saw the wall of fire in the spirit, in the sense that she started dancing on the stage and she got healed. And so she speaks about that all over the world. That's how God did that. It's really cool. And so last year when I was in Pemba, last summer, that came to me when there was another very big problem that some people were praying about, and we were on the stage. And I mentioned this on Tuesday night. Really encourage you guys, if you can, start coming if you can. If you've not, if it's new to you and you don't know about it, come, unless you're from Arizona. But come if you aren't aware of it. It's not just Sunday morning. It's Tuesday night. We can get you there if you need help or something. But so many things happened at that time. And what I found was, when I was in Pemba, I'll just briefly share it. The Lord gave me that same scripture, because I was up on this stage's platform in a tent, and there were different prayers that were going up, but I had this word from the Lord, speak this out, this is what they need. And they were wrapping up and winding up. I was right up there, but they had, you know, an agenda or something. They were wrapping things up. But Heidi and Roland were up on the stage too. So I whispered in his ear and her ear, and I told them that. And Heidi said, I had the same word. Give it right now, please. I mean, we'll stop what we're doing. So I did, about this wall of fire, because it was the right word at the right time. So Heidi, a few days ago, put something on her Facebook page. I think it was on the 7th, about, yes, Lord, let there be a wall of fire around our precious areas and province in northern Mozambique. So the word is on the street now, and it's going viral, is that everybody's in big trouble. And I heard from another source, right as I'm pulling in the driveway, this is not the Iris source, another source, another pastor in Ohio who got a word from another somebody, I'm not sure who, that everybody there is clearing out right now because it's so terrible. And I said, whoa. So I took what I had, which was the latest from this morning from Pemba, just released, what I'm going to read to you. Now, if that's changed in the last hour, that I don't know. But this word that was given was that everybody's leaving. So when I called our friend in Virginia, Brian, and he said, yeah, there's been a lot of miscommunication, a lot of misunderstanding, well-meaning, when leaders talk with other leaders, but texts are sent out and say, send to everybody, and then it goes crazy. And so that's what's happened. Before even a lot of students, parents knew what was going on, saying we're evacuating kids from the Harvest School who are there from around the world. Causes more chaos, more fear, and that wasn't the intention of any connection between Iris, Heidi, and another major ministry at all. That was not what they had hoped or wanted. So however that disconnect came, it's created a lot of problems and fear. So if you get that, I'm just going to let you set the record straight on what at least I was told right before church from Pemba. And so I'll read to you what the recent statement is, unless it changed. In that last hour, anything is possible. But my understanding, what I was told, is that this traveling group is going into villages and raping the women and cutting people up and cutting their heads off. I mean, it's bad. It's the worst wicked stuff. And pillaging and burning villages to the ground and burning the churches and, you know, just stuff that you hear about all the time in India. And that's happening. And it has been happening. But what we heard this morning was that it was it was as far away as an hour to a couple hours away. It wasn't in Pemba itself. And that the reason that the students were going to be taken or sent down to Johannesburg or some other place was because the government came in and said, we want to minimize the number of foreigners who are here. And since they're foreigners coming in from around the world, that's what they're doing. And that they got that dictator mandate. So that's what they're trying to do. But the latest that I had heard, like I said, an hour before, was that everybody else is staying there. And then our friend Brian is flying in tomorrow. So that's going on. And let me read to you what they wrote. And in context with what I'm passing out to you about persecution and suffering and things that are scriptural, that I think as we take all of this together before the Lord with the goal of, Jesus, we just want your name glorified. We want to run as fast as we can as we're resting. Sometimes we think resting is not running as fast as we can. And that's where the disconnect can be, because we try to protect ourselves and we don't realize we're trying to protect ourselves in our own little world by being the perfect, you know, Andy of Mayberry little group or family or ministry or whatever it would be. It's not, life isn't like that. So that's what I wanted to offer. Let me just read this to you, though. And it may be posted now. I mean, right in the middle of worship, I double-checked again, and it wasn't, but it might be. So, again, this is as up-to-date as we can possibly get with where we are right now. I'm sure that their phones, everything's, the priority is to silence the fearful people, fearful voices for the safety of so many people. So I took this newest information and sent it on too to see if we could help. So do you all remember that when I was in Pemba last summer, that we had an international closing to a graduation that was there? Do you guys remember that there was a word of the Lord from Pastor Jose about what was going to happen and how it was so important to let the United States, I mean, it was for America, to let the United States know that they need to intercede, they need to intervene in the spirit right now. There are some pretty big things coming. Do you remember that? Okay, so I'm on the stage of, the only reason I say that is to let you know I'm near the mic to be able to say this, not to say I'm on the stage, just so you, I'm there, right there, listening to PJ, listening to Heidi, and asking God, what do I do with this? Because I'm from America, and I know that we're going to have, what's it called up in Cleveland? Azusa Cleveland. It was the night before, the week before, a couple days before Azusa Cleveland starting. So it's like we have to get this word out quickly, because this word is fresh. It's like right off the street. This is fresh bread. This is like from God. And it was strong. And Pastor Jose stood up and gave this strong, powerful word. Now, saying that, don't you think the enemy wants to hit intercessors? Don't you think he wants to hit world changers and do anything he can, anything, to minimize their influence, to divide, to draw some, you know, draw disagreements, heartache, getting people off their destiny, out of their destiny, trying to create havoc, trying to create offense, trying to create division? Don't you think he's got to do that? If he's behind ISIS or anything else, he's got to try to disarm God's people. So anyway, I was able to get out and call Pastor Bill, and then we were able to get that message out so people in this area would then could have it go viral. But it really hit Cleveland Azusa, which was the next, seemingly a next step after Azusa Now, which was in California the year before. So these things that are fresh are really important. So it's a good time for assessment. So let me just read it to you, and then I'm going to show you some things. Amazing family and friends, thank you for praying. What we need most in this time is constant prayer coverage. We are especially praying for our Christian brothers and sisters who have lost family members. We are praying for the gospel to advance in this time and for Christians to share boldly in the face of the threats. We are praying for those causing violence to have radical encounters with Jesus and for them to know his love. We love these ones and we want them to be saved. Love wins. We realize that some of the news updates sound very scary. It is a serious situation, but we are trusting Jesus. The reason the students have to leave is that the government wants less foreigners here in this time. The Mozambican students will continue, meaning the pastors from the different villages that are coming in being trained up. So the Mozambican Bible College or Bible students. The missionaries are all staying at this time, though we have put some added precautions in place, such as a 5 p.m. curfew and outreach only during the day. There have been attacks in several rural villages a few hours from our bases where people were raped and killed and homes were burned. These are places where we planted churches. So it's our brothers and sisters Iris Global that have suffered. We mourn with those who are mourning. Our leadership team is in constant prayer over the situation. We also have emergency plans, and we are closely monitoring the situation in prayerfully deciding steps to take. Based on the current situation, we feel confident to remain home in Pemba with our whole Mozambican and missionary team. We will keep you posted on any updates. We are praying for peace, in all caps. We have had many visions of revival spreading like a mighty wind. We especially believe for a revival among youth in our school and city at this time. Our biggest desire is for our lives to glorify our Savior. He is worthy of it all. Isn't that great? And that's the latest that I have, that, and others have said, I'll keep you posted if there's any other change in that. And so it's with that heart that I offer this to us. Okay, that's why I'm asking everybody to listen to this so they're not just getting a handout and going, well, now they're talking about persecution and it's versus dying to self. Now it's just dying. No, that's not the heart, you know. This is like, let's get this in right context. We still are contending for the miraculous, right? But it's pretty good. Let's just take a look at some of these things because I'm not going to go through the entire handout here. But this was actually written by Roland, which was interesting. And on Facebook this morning from this one gal, she's in her 30s, she's lovely. Her name is Antoinette. And she's got three little kids. And she lives up there in Pemba. And she said, this was the best part of the meeting. And she had a picture of Roland holding her baby, holding one of her kids. And it was a joy meeting. And that's how they handle these things. Very, very serious joy. And so that's a place where we want to live in the midst of persecution. So if you take a look at number 338, which is on page 346 at the bottom, I was just going through this. These lines are things I have in my own devotional because it's fun for me. So I just brought this in and said, here, Carly, just run this off. But interestingly, if you'll take a look at the middle section, it says, I didn't like the idea of denying myself and dying daily. These teachings, like give up all you have, leave your family behind, take up your cross. If you try to keep your life, you'll lose it. For a long time, I didn't like those sermons either. I wanted to hear about protection, favor, blessing, shields, heaven on earth. And I wanted overweight angels on my side to make sure I didn't have to suffer anything. And then he goes on to repeat a little bit more on that realm, and you can read through it here. But he does say you don't hear a lot of sermons preached on the hard verses. But let me tell you, they are essential to a holistic understanding of faith, the gospel, life, eternity, and just about everything that matters. And so, interestingly, I was thinking about our body here, and we do try to preach the full gospel and go, and we talk about those hard verses and we release those hard verses, and sometimes it makes a difference. I think it makes a difference to the Lord, but sometimes it may not have been caught, you know, in the revelatory realm, because as it's caught and we change, then we want to hear more of how Jesus lived and who he really is and how he did what he did so we can become more like him. You guys, that is truly the reason why we ask you to listen to the messages. It's not because we're these people who want you to, you know, we're up here, so we gave a message, so you better listen to it. That's just dumb. But the reason is there's a progression. That's why we ask those kinds of things, because we're thinking, oh my gosh, Lord, you're about to take us into a realm that's going to release this revelation that's going to show us more how you're taking us collectively as a family into some areas that you want everyone to discover, and we're saying we want to discover these things now. So we want to understand why you say, take up your cross, deny yourself, you know, and all the other verses that are listed on here. That's not where we get our information. We're going to the Lord, but we are in a place. And every once in a while, you get Andy up here who's going to say, how on God's green earth did that ever happen? We could do this, that, and we're doing X, Y, and Z. So I sent Andy, actually, a message of his from 2012 that he listened to over the weekend. And did it wreck you, Andy? About is there anything in 30 seconds you can come and share that touched you from listening to your message? I don't want you to re-preach it. How did it hit you? Now, this is 2012, and if you ever want to hear it, we can send it to you. But it came into my remembrance, let's put it that way. When I say 30 seconds, it's just that I want to keep going because you're like me.
Yeah, that's dangerous. 30 seconds. Sure, I can. I don't know if you guys remember it or not. It was the message about the elastic waistband. And yes, Troy watching over to make sure my shirt was tucked in. But there were several interesting things that kind of came back up in my heart when I listened through it. And one is that the same message that was released then in 2012 still holds true. And the Lord was re-highlighting it to me. And it's like, wow, Lord, you are literally convicting me with words that you gave me coming out of my mouth that I'm hearing now. From like, you know, just like, wow, that's really good. And it didn't go into this thing of, yes, the Lord gave me something and it was flowing through. But it's like, hey, Andy, even though you're sharing this, it's still applicable to your life today. And it was just unique because then it, you know, then I'm thinking, well, you guys should just think on that. That's a whole other thing. But the other thing that kind of came through it was the Lord, the crux of the message was the Lord was challenging like our preferences and what we would prefer ourselves and what would make us happier. What, you know, and the thing that I did not prefer is I didn't want to wear, you know, elastic trauma pants with an elastic waist because that was a fashion nightmare. And
still is.
Thank God when we went to Mozambique and we're like, no more drama clothes. I mean, I was on my knees before the Lord rejoicing. But the crux of it was is that there's a lot of times our preferences can rob us of seeing the very things that the Lord is doing around us and that he wants to capture our attention on. And he was saying, Andy, like you press through those things and on the other end of it, you see what I see. And if you see what I see, then you'll pay any price to get there, and it doesn't really matter. And kind of the initial fleshly response was, I don't want to go there because I don't prefer that. But then when the Lord showed me the true value, which is people, and people on the other end of it, then once I get past that barrier of this is going to cost me something, it's not even a thought that it's a sacrifice. It doesn't even come into consideration. So I made the decision to wear the drama pants, get over myself. So in the middle of doing the drama, sharing Jesus, sharing the gospel, I'm not frustrated and I gotta give this thing up on the inside of. So that if I was in the place where I was still holding that on the inside, there could be somebody that would not get saved. There could be somebody that would miss an opportunity that the Lord would have from them through me. because I'm all wrapped up in my own thing. But if I press through it, I've said, okay, Lord, I want to see what you want me to see, then it's not even a question beyond that. Those thoughts don't even enter my mind because they don't have to, because I'm not giving weight or room or space to them, because the Lord has basically shown me, hey, there's something more important, and it's more important than you and what you prefer. It's like, oh, Lord, that's convicting.
Well, I didn't know that, and I knew it wouldn't be 30 seconds. That's all right. It's not a problem at all. It's good. I gave you, I offered that. He was doing some other work for me. It wasn't to say, here, listen to this. This is the past. No, it wasn't for that reason at all, but that's cool. But I wanted to say that drama pants and wearing elastic, and that's pretty childish. It is. And that's okay. That's where we all start, right? I mean, Lauren started with, I can't eat a chocolate bar. What? Snickers bar. I mean, so that's childish stuff. So we know that. But we're in a season where the Lord's saying, you know, I trust you guys, and I want to take you out of Pampers here. So we don't want to spend a lot of time talking about drama pants or Snicker bars. We want to go into things that really hold even deeper weight. But those kinds of things train us to take on the harder stuff. One thing about Pastor Bill, when he was in the trenches and he came up to me and he showed me his shoe. It's like, that's a cheap shoe. You know, the whole sole, the whole flap. It was hilarious. I mean, we wear holes in things. I mean, it's not bad. But the whole thing was undone. He couldn't keep going because it's slippery on the slide, that slidey place, and it was raining, had been raining, and that you have a machine, a mower, right? I mean, you know what that's like. And it's like, well, that's just not smart. You know, you can say, well, I can put it on and tough it through, or you can go home and get a better pair of boots, right? And that's what he did, and he came back. He didn't just say, well, I've done this most of the day, we'll see ya. But he went home and came back. And I haven't even told him this, but to me that's a word picture of, this needs to be done, and I'm the leader, and I'm going to model that, and it's not like he's thinking that, but I'm going to do it. Let's do this. We need to take care of what you've given us to steward well. And so I was touched by that. But let's take a look, because all of that helps us understand suffering and persecution. Believe it or not, it just really does. It's not like, tough it up, you can't make it hard enough for me. I'll bite the bullet, I'm tough. No, it's not like that. It's with the peace and the joy of the Lord so overtaking us that we understand that the King in the Song of Songs is basically saying, hey, baby, I've been watching you. I love you. I'm going to kiss you. I'm going to throw grapes in your mouth. We're going to have a beach kind of blessing here. I mean, we're coming together, and you're going to love me so much. And then out of that, we've got things to do. Come on, let's go. And she's going, whoa, 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 wait, I'm liking this. Them resting in you. I'm peaceful. I've got my little corner all packaged, and I'm doing a little bit. And he's saying, I know, but come on, there are other things out here that even hold more weight than what you think is your priority. Yeah. And that's how God's going to take us in these last days, to be able to endure harder things that come, tougher things that come, being willing to say no to our maybe semi-perfect world in existence to something that's really harder. And it's not, I've got to be like somebody holding a mic here going, I just have to do more, I have to do more, I have to do more. That's the wrong voice speaking to you. And if you start commiserate with somebody else, you've just la-la-la'd yourself right into feeling better, and you're coming along instead of letting the Word help bring us into a place of trusting Jesus so much that he's trying to change us through discipline, through correction, through his love, through his passionate pursuit of us, that we're overcome with joy. We don't even understand it. And we're going to go do something that's, you know, it's like, I just, this is what I do. You know, that's how Cynthia is getting through, and Lawrence are getting through some of the things that they're having to endure right now. Very rough for the last year. And they're doing that with joy in their heart and smile on their face. You just happen to be here to hear it, but it's true. Okay, so the Lord is giving us these things, and there's no room. So, you know, I thought actually if you read it from someone else and not from me, then it might hold a little more like, oh, maybe I've heard this before. But when we get to those places, there's no room for discouragement, disappointment, and everything else, and specifically control, to stay and hold us where we can't let loose and be who we're created to be. We're created for just raw craziness in Jesus. Heidi's PA, I remember a couple of years ago, Laura's her name, she's one of them, and she was dirty and sweating and full of mud, and she's this beautiful blonde, and she's going after all the things that she watched Heidi do, because she's watching and going, wow, that's her Jesus, so this is my Jesus too, I can do this. So when you see the little kids out there standing behind the tables, and they maybe don't want to be, and they want to be out kicking a soccer ball or whatever, but you're helping them, and they're doing something that's helping them. They don't even realize it. They're doing something. It's helping them take the next step because they don't fully understand, but they're getting a picture of a little bit of sacrifice. So those who didn't want to stand behind the table, we helped them put their soccer ball down and say, you know, there's another time for that. We'd like you to come over here and come and help and support the other ones who are standing there. And we help them see those kinds of things. So it's more of a team understanding. And the more we see that that's where the Lord takes us as leaders, as parents, as grandparents, to help each other, to help people be able to grab hold of these things, believe it or not, it's going to help with situations like this that we might find ourselves in a foreign country, or it might be right here. What are we going to do? But sometimes when it's not right on our doorstep, we don't think about it too much. But we're going to close in prayer in a little bit here. And actually, I'm going to ask you guys to not speak about the rape and things like that, the very specifics. We don't need to. But we can pray. And we're going to bring our little kids out here, and they can help us pray for other brothers and sisters and those who don't know the Lord yet, even in Pemba, north of Pemba, you know, of what's going on in that country, so that we can get a better grip on what God wants us to do. So let's just look at a few other things. And I am asking you to not just read this, but study it and do it in a timely fashion, if you would. I'm asking you to do that, and I'm hoping you do. I think it'll be helpful for you. If you look on, let's see, the last verse or the last sentence on 346 at the bottom, are you willing to accept something from his word that you may not like? Ask him to help you be open to his truth, even if it offends your theology. And then 347 talks just a little bit more about suffering. If you go down to 347 down at the bottom, I'm talking 347 at the bottom, it says, we all have a severe lack of love because we are imperfect people. We get tired, we get angry, we get easily offended. But learning to love the way Jesus loved us is about putting down our rights. It's about suffering. I have realized you cannot demonstrate the love of God if you are not willing to suffer. That is radical, my friends. And it's going to be the Lord's definition of what that looks like. It's not just about loving those who love you. Anyone can do that. Any unbeliever can do that. Suffering is more than that. Look at Matthew 5, and this is what I want to read out loud. You can put that up if you would, Beth. Matthew 5, 43 through 47. You're familiar with the old written law, love your friend and its unwritten companion, hate your enemy. I'm challenging that. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer, for then you are working out your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. He gives his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish, to everyone, regardless, the good and bad, the nice and nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. The Message. So this is where we want to bring out, have the, you know, something really hard, bring out the best. You know, if you have difficult ones, it's easy to have fun gatherings with people because we like to be fun and show the love of Jesus. But it's not so easy to initiate things that aren't necessarily going to incorporate what feels so good. There might be some tension. And so that's one of the reasons the Lord says, go out into the highways and byways and bring in the broken, hurting, lost, and lame. Bring them to your wedding feast. Bring them in. Bring them in. Not just to church, but bring them in. And that might be someone who is so super religious in your mind that it's just uncomfortable and they might touch your kids. And I think that's a test from the Lord saying, let's think about that. Let's just think about that more and more and how we might be able to change, because I think the Lord's trying to show us. If you look on 348 at the top, Rollins says, they think because Jesus prayed your kingdom come in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:10, that everything we do must be in fulfillment of that. We want earth to be as it is in heaven, and we think this gives us the right to not have a hard time here on this earth. At the same time, we're going to be contending for cancer to be completely eradicated till it's eradicated. I mean, you know, that's what we're going to do because that's what the Word says. But we're going to understand how this all fits together. Let us look at the million-dollar question. Is it ever God's will for something tough to happen to you? Or does he always want you to be protected from hardship? Was it God's will for Jesus to die on the cross? Yes, it was. Was God Jesus suffering at that point? Yes, he was. Was God still in control? Yes, he was. What was God's purpose? What are his methods? How does he accomplish his purposes in history? We can answer these in part by saying his methods are not ours. He does not need to follow human-made ways of thinking. His understanding is higher, greater, wider, wiser, stronger, deeper, accurate, holy, everlasting, pure, and right. And sometimes he allows us to suffer to make us more than we were before. Oh my gosh, well that means if I stand for something right, I'm going to have a whole bunch of people against the way I believe and against me. That's right, you are. And it might even be the closest ones to you. Have you ever lived that for a long period of time? I have. I still am. It's not easy. It's not fun. But the Lord says, rise up in a different spirit, but be aware of what I'm trying to do in you. It's God is like that. But he's saying, step up, my beloved. Step up. Step up. I am the king who loves the Shulamite woman. But step up. Don't stay here. Don't stay where you are. Step up and step into the fullness of Philippians 3:10. Honestly. But we need to be maturing to get to this point. If you take a look at the next page, 349, and again, you can read the whole thing. If you look at the first underlying, what if by suffering we become more like Jesus? What if God designed suffering as a way to mature us? Why is Jesus glorified now in heaven? Why is he so honored? Why is he the worthy Lamb of God? It's because he endured evil opposition without sin. Let me read that again. It is because he endured evil opposition without sin. He was tested to the maximum and proven worthy. He was tested and found to be without sin. We don't get a reward in heaven for having an easy time of things. We don't get a better resurrection by playing it safe and hanging out with our buddies. We have millions of years to relax without any persecution. How would you like to be worthy of millions of years of blessing? Matthew 16:24-27. Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. And the final answer on 349 at the bottom says, God will reward us, not according to what we thought about doing or wished we had done, but according to what we actually did. Do you want a reward in heaven? Then it's time to question what you allow yourself to go through on earth. That has impacted me. I've read this so many times myself, and just And I usually just remind myself right before I go to bed, and I just go, ah, and go to sleep. Honestly, it's like, yep, thank you, Jesus. I love you more than ever before. And then very, very finally, the scriptures of suffering, if you'll just take a look at on page 350, it says, I want you to do this. He's asking anyone who's reading this book to spend time researching for yourself. I always ask you that. But I'm asking you to read these scriptures, and I'm asking you to listen to this and even listen to the message, you know, that I mentioned to you earlier that goes along with that. And of course, I think Pastor Bill's are the best ever, so that's a given. But I'm asking you in context with this for that message 2 weeks ago to listen, to have the context for this. It's just so helpful. And then Pastor Bill's is amazing on top of it. It's wrecked a lot of people in a good way. That was last week. I want you to do this so you understand, because I have told you, but because you have seen for yourself what God thinks about this issue. If you start to realize what's on God's heart in this area, you will view hardship, even people who've, you know, you haven't had a whole lot of easy breakthrough with some. And God understands that. He's not silent. And then he quotes Philippians 3:10, which is what I started out saying with the dog tags. So this alone is an incredible truth. We can know power, the power that raised Christ from the dead and left behind an empty tomb, when we participate in his suffering. Can I read that again? This alone is an incredible truth. Philippians 3:10, 11. We can know power, the power that raised Christ from the dead and left behind an empty tomb, when we participate in his suffering. And there's some really good verses to go down. Let the word of God soak in your heart. Search the word and deepen your understanding. And then we will rejoice more and more when things are not easy. There will be a sense of rejoicing when we really believe that God's moving. And it's not because we've mucked things up. It's because we're trying to love Jesus. And he looks at our heart going, well, you're not perfect, but, you know, we're together. And I'm changing you, but I know your heart. Lawrence gave an amazing message with everybody else over the weekend, last weekend. Very busy with what's going on in his world and life, too. He came and did that on Sunday morning early. And gave a good message about Saul. And, you know, Saul really did muck things up. But he didn't have a heart after God like David did. And I think David mucked a few things up too, right? Oh, big time. But inside, when he was hit with the truth, when he heard the truth from the prophet, boom, it was like his eyes were open. Revelation came. Ha! I see. He received the discipline of the Lord rather than I'm in my own process. Leave me alone. That's the difference. So if we say we've got a heart after God like David, which I believe that's what the Lord would say in this group, let him in so that we can grasp these kinds of things and not be afraid. The Lord's not trying to make us afraid. He's trying to help push fear away so that true joy, that true peace, that true rejoicing will really be who we are. Because when we're poked, then we know what we're really full of. And if it's, I love Jesus, I love Jesus, I love Jesus. Without, wow, Jesus, now what do I do? Okay? And God is giving us, he's giving us a mandate to be able to pull people out of the water. There are some that people are in the water and the sharks are right around them. They are right there. And they're ready to be taken. Okay? And if you see one because you have eyes open and you're going to help draw that person out of the shark pool, and you're going to do it in a way that might cost you something, you've got to be able to hear that and know that and move in it, because persecution comes. It's not always easy. Like, oh, of course they want to get out of a shark pool. No, you might get bitten. You might get a shark bite, but you're going to help someone. Do you see? So we're going to call the kids to come in with, and what we want to do is end this in in prayer and praise and rejoicing for what the Lord wants to do and help the folks in Pemba, but not from a place of fear and not from a place of wimpiness where we're not standing up against the enemy. Many people believe there was less that happened on 911 because there were praying people around, and God started to open that up. And then we're just going to wrap this up, okay? Fewer people, fewer casualties, fewer. One is bad enough. One kid killing himself in Jackson Middle School is bad enough. What if it were 50? But the Lord intervened. Why? I don't know, except I believe that there's been a lot of prayer for Jackson Middle School. A lot. And we had the privilege of walking through Jackson Middle School last week with about 10 people and praying over every locker, every door, every place, because God opened the door. So he's listening to our prayers. So if somebody can go get the kids for me, and we're just going to ask you guys to come up, and we're just going to pray. We're not going to spend a long time. I'm going to ask you to pray in your houses and take this seriously. And we're going to see God do what he's going to do, and he's going to bring revival. So let's just close in prayer with that, okay? One thing that I don't know if you guys know this, but let me tell you this much. One leader, I won't say who it is, but one leader in the menagerie of leaders at the top in Iris had one of his family members cut up, chopped up years back in a village. This stuff is real. So I'm not saying that in front of the kids, but they have to deal with it. And this is one of the most joyful people I know. So this is not a fear message. This is a message of hope. It's a message of seriousness, a message of let's jump in here and let our prayers be effective. Amen? So, you know, we can do this. We can just pass the mic. We can do this and, hey, kids, come on in and just go ahead and join your parents or your grandparents and sit with your family. Can you guys do that? We're going to pray, and we're gonna pass the mic, and we're just going to pray for some friends of ours that live in Mozambique, and they want to see things change in their area because they're going through some really hard times. And so we're going to ask. We're going to start with Lawrence, and then we're going to pass it. And the kids know, or the parents know what to do. Okay? So, Father, we just thank you and praise you right now. We thank you, Lord, that you are so good. You are so much in love with us. And, Father, you have so many things planned for us, so many things in the future. Lord, we thank you that you love us and that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And we thank you, Lord, that your love is moving through this northern region of Mozambique, the very place that we're going to in July in that country. So we thank you for that, God. We praise you for that. And we thank you, Lord, that you're moving, and all the kids who are in here are going to listen and cooperate in their heart to hear us pray for somebody else. So we thank you for that, Jesus, that we get to serve someone else through our prayers. We love you so much. So we're going to start over here, all the Lip-Tac little kitties. Dad's going to pray. We're asking you to start this, if you would, and then we're just going to pass this, and we're going to pray for those who have some struggles right now so that they would have a touch from Jesus in their heart.
Lord, Father, I thank you that your heart of compassion and grace is the same heart that carries power. So, Father, we just lift you up and praise you as we're interceding and standing in the gap for all the people in Mozambique. Father, I pray for boldness to rise up in each one of the believers, that sons and daughters that are surrounding all of those places would rise up, Father God, with an understanding that you are good. Father, that they would be lights in the midst of darkness. Father, that they would be examples of grace, of mercy, of power. And Father, as they continue to worship you, as they continue to stand in that place, Father, I'm just reminded of, Holy Spirit, help me. I was kind of reminded. of the example in scriptures where I think it's Peter in jail, as they're just standing in jail worshiping the Lord and the gates opened up. Father, there's something that's unlocked in that place of holy worship to you. Father, so we just pray in the name of Jesus that intercessors, as they're becoming more aware of this all around the world, Father God, would step into that place of intercession, of praise and worship, Father God, and it would unlock the jail cells. Father, that the sons and daughters in Mozambique, Father, those children of great inheritance, Lord, would step into that place of worship that unlocks the heavenlies, Father, that testimonies of light, of grace would rise up, Father, that as we're hearing the need and the call for intercession, Lord, that testimonies would follow. Lord, that those testimonies would begin to pour in of opportunities to share Christ, to see your light breaking through in the darkness, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that they would never move from that place of worshiping you, Father. And as they do that, Lord, signs, wonders, and miracles would follow those who believe in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Do you want to pray? Do you guys want to pray? So, Father, I just thank you for just that release out over Mozambique, northern Mozambique, and Malawi, that's right there, and I think Tanzania right above, Father. Just thank you that you just move in those areas, Lord, that there be powerful revival that just spreads out from there, Lord, just a revival of your presence and knowing you, Father. And as Lauren said, signs and wonders, Lord, we just thank you that your fire would be about around your church, your fire would be around the believers, Lord, that as they go, Father, that even if an attack, you know, if things were to come against people, Lord, that they would just know what you're saying, that they'd be led by your Spirit, Father, and they would rise up in just the power of Holy Spirit to bring life and truth and to just release your goodness in that area. So we just thank you for Cabo Delgado. We thank you for the massive revival that's been going on there for over the last 10 years or so. Plus, Lord, as you've just been bringing tribe after tribe of Muslims to you, village after village. So we just thank you right now for a continued release, Lord, that when things are under pressure, things are refined, things are perfected, Lord, that you just continue to perfect their faith in those places, Lord, and that people just rise up in your truth and as sons and daughters of the King. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
Father, we just lift up the students who are from the Harvard School that were displaced and sent back home, Father. And we just pray, Lord, that you would continue to burn in them and the things that they learned, the things that they've seen, Father, that discipleship would continue and still go deep in them. Father, we just pray, Father, for those who are persecuting God, that you would just shift their hearts, Father, that they would have Paul-like conversion experiences, Lord, that they would see you, that they would encounter you, that they'd be humbled, that their zeal that has been for hate and evil would be shifted for love and for your kingdom purposes, and Father, that they would even take seats, Father, in the harvest school, that they would become disciples, Father, even in that place, God, that it would just be something that would stand and just glorify you, that there is no hate too strong, Father, that your love can't conquer and that your love can't win. So, Father, we just pray deception off of them. Father, that where they've just been ingrained, Father, with evil thoughts and hate, Father, consuming them, we speak freedom over their lives, freedom to love, freedom to just be abandoned, Father, to your purposes, freedom to be healed on the inside. Father, we just ask, Father, for just deep healing in them, and Lord, we just pray for strength for Heidi and Roland and the other leaders to stand in the midst of this with great wisdom, Father, with counsel from heaven. Lord, just that there would just be such a unity, Lord, in knowing what to do and how to move next in the midst of all of these things. Father, we just thank you, Father, for your godly counsel just going forth and surrounding them in great unity, Lord, giving them strength and boldness in this time. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, you reminded me of a picture that I had during a prayer time in Mozambique, probably in 2007 or 8. And the picture was pillars that were rising up all up Mozambique, and they were pillars that were being walked on. But they were pillars, Lord, and they were rising above the earth and going up into the earth. And I believe, Father, that these are pillars of people, specific people that have been planted all along and all throughout Mozambique and the surrounding countries, Lord, for such a time as this, God, that they're the ones standing in the gap. They're the ones standing on the verge. And I believe that just like you showed pillars, there's pillars in heaven as well, Righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne. Father, I thank you that these precious ones that are standing in the middle of the gap and that are being covered in prayer even right now, Lord God, that true righteousness and true justice is connecting from heaven to earth, and they're standing and they're resisting the powers of darkness with righteousness and justice. And I thank you, Lord, that these precious ones that are causing the persecution, that are deeply loved, will come head to head with true righteousness and justice as seen in heaven here on earth, and that they're going to be able to stand, Father, and to stand in resistance but with love, and that these precious ones that are doing the persecuting, like Paul did the persecuting, will be able to turn and they'll be able to see. Now, Father, I thank you, Lord, that even the ones that have gone into the earth like a seed already, Lord, that have come into contact with this severe persecution, are also going to spring up life, and there will be precious ones that will come out of this gross darkness, and they'll come into your marvelous light because your love is standing as a pillar on the earth of righteousness and justice. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, I thank you for the Christians who are sharing your light and bearing your light there. I pray, Father, for a strengthening into their spirit, their soul, their mind, their body, their will and emotions. Father, when fear comes knocking and raging, Lord, at their doors of the heart, Father God, that they would be able to stand. They would be able to stand in your power. They would be able to stand in your strength. Just as Jesus was being turned over and the sword was being taken on one of those soldiers. Lord, I just thank you that there was healing in the midst of that. So, Lord, I pray that as these attackers, Father, just are coming, that there is a strength and a power that comes from heaven that stops them in their tracks, that there would be a power, Father God, your power, Lord Jesus, that would cause them to drop down to their knee to worship you, Jesus, to encounter you, Jesus. So I just pray, Father, for strength, Father, for the Christians, Lord, to be able to stand in the midst of this, Lord, and just thank you, Lord, for the protection. And I just ask, Father, that as you're strengthening them, though, Lord, that worship would arise inside of each one of their hearts. God, that they would not be fixed on the things or the circumstances around them, but, Father, that their eyes would be fixed on you, Jesus. That you would cause a focus, Lord, to just an alignment, Father, to come with their eyes, Lord, just fixed on you, God. And I just thank you, and I just also saw that, Father, those who are attacking, Father, that would have an assault Paul encounter, Father, that that they would see you, Jesus. Why are you attacking? Why are you persecuting me, Saul? And I just pray, Father, that that revelation of who you are, God, would just come and arrest their hearts, God. Just thank you, Father. You just come in your power. You would come in your authority, Father, and break through, God. Break through, Father, what the enemy meant to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus, you came and you brought life, that you would give us life abundance. And Lord, even at the cross, Jesus, that you had paid that, Father, that this is for them as well. So I thank you, Father, for life abundance for the attackers. Father, I thank you for life abundance for the Christians. Lord, that there would be a strength in your heaven, that your kingdom would come, Father, that on earth as it is in heaven, that your name would be declared, Lord Jesus. And bless you, God.
Yes, Lord, just speak a hedge of protection over Pemba, over the missionaries there, over Heidi and Roland, over all the children there, God, that are being taken care of, Lord, and just all of the surrounding areas. Lord, I just pray that you would just raise up a standard against the enemy in that place, that he would not be able to go forth, that not one more life would be lost. Thank you, Jesus, that though the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, you come to bring life and life to the full. So I just call upon your full and abundant life and your protection for all of the people in northern Mozambique. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
God, I'm just reminded of Children's Day and how I believe 6,000 children came to the Iris and stop for the one, God. So I just thank you for the dedication of many that walked miles to be there, God. And I don't know how that all plays into the situation, but I know you're using those children as worship leaders and intercessors and just a wave of faith and that is combating fear and darkness. So God, I thank you that the seeds that were planted and fed in the Children's Day continue to be nourished, and that fear and deception and the lies of the enemy will not come steal and kill or destroy any of those seeds.
Lord, I just lift up the whole Iris team, Lord God, and I just pray that just their intimacy with you would increase in this season, and there would be such a sweet aroma of you, Jesus, in every place that they go. And I just agree with all of the prayers, Lord, that you're going to turn all of this around for your good, and that there's going to be a powerful, powerful revival that will come out of this in the name of Jesus. And I just decree this over Mozambique. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession, and that includes Mozambique. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling, Lord. I just pray that we would just, each one of us, Lord God, would just tremble at your feet, Lord. And I pray that every person in Mozambique would tremble at your feet, Lord God. I pray that they would bow their knee to Jesus, Lord God. I just thank you, Lord, that blessed are all those who put their trust in you, Lord. And I pray that there would just be a blessing over people in this region in Mozambique, just a blessing and an anointing and an ease for them to be able to step into the place of trusting you, God, that they would know your heart in a deeper way in this season, they would hear your voice, Lord, and that they would know exactly what to do.
Father, we just thank you for the nation of Mozambique, God. Our hearts break as your heart breaks, Father, for the things that have taken place. But Lord, we know, Father, that you have overcome the world. You have overcome death, Father. You have overcome the enemy, Lord. So we just thank you, Lord, that as we were singing this morning, as we were saying that your name is a light that the shadow cannot deny, and yet your name overcomes, Lord. Father, I thank you that your peace is just coming in like a mighty wave over Pemba and that entire area, a peace that no heart or mind could ever understand or ever fathom. It goes past our knowledge, Lord. It's the peace of heaven. It's the peace of heaven. So we just speak peace into that region, Father God. We speak peace, Father, over every Christian, over every non-believer, God. And we just lift up Heidi and Rollins' arms right now. In Jesus' name, we just represent the church here, the body of Christ, the global church, and we just say that all of your promises are yes and amen for what you, the work that you've begun, you are faithful to complete it, Lord God. The churches that have been sown there and have been built and have grown, Father, we thank you, Lord, that was your work, that was your kingdom, that was, Father, your plans and your desires that were established in the earth, Father, in that area, Lord. So we just thank you for those churches, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the family members, Lord, that you are just bringing, Father, a comfort and a peace, Lord, that surpasses their understanding and their knowledge, Father. You're bringing a peace, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. Father, you're turning around the fear that would want to come and rob. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We release heaven over that area, Lord, and we just join our prayers and we thank you that there will be Damascus Road encounters, Father God, with you in Jesus' name. We just call it out. We prophesied Damascus Road encounters, Lord, that when their hands are raised, Father, to do treacherous things, oh God, they will see you, Father, in Jesus' name, the same way as it was done in India, where they turned around and they saw angels before them, before they were about to snatch the little precious ones, Father God. We pray for the same thing to happen, that they will see you, Father God. They will see your marvelous light, and you will cause your face to shine upon them, oh God. We thank you that these encounters shall happen, Lord, and we'll hear testimonies and news, and they'll come running to their knees in repentance, Father, and saying, God, what have I done? And there will be great reconciliation for all the world to see, for all the world to see, that the news will be turned upside down, around about, Father God, and that your kingdom would touch earth, Father God, as it is in heaven. We just thank you, Lord, and we just will not cease, Father,
until we see these things happen, Lord. We will not cease in our intercession, Father. We will not get distracted, Father, with what's going on around us, Lord, but we will see this through. This is our prayer assignment from heaven, God. So we just thank you, Lord, that it shall be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name.
Father, we just praise your name. We just lift up your holy name. Father, you are worthy of everything, God. Father, yours is the kingdom, and yours is the power, and yours is the glory forever and ever, Father. Forever and ever and ever, no matter what happens, Father, for what can separate us from the love of God. I just thank you, Father, for lifting up the Christians, the church pastors, Heidi and Roland and Pastor Jose and anybody else, Father, that needs your power, Father. I'm reminded of when Peter, I've been thinking about it a lot lately, but when Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water towards you, Jesus, I just ask for that same power and that same faith to rise up in the Mozambican Christians and pastors, Father.
Let's pray for us the purity of your fire to burn in that area. Lord, as that area has been flooded time and time again, let's pray for the fire of your spirit to flood through that region, that it's be this overwhelming force that cannot be stopped, that as the enemy is pushing against a wall, against your kingdom, that it'd be like a trampoline that the enemy is pushing against. There'd be a pushback, but a stronger force pushing back against the enemy, that whatever enemy has tried to accomplish through this, it would fall back on his face. He would fall back and realize that there is no power greater than the power of God and the Spirit of God, that when it rises up inside your believers and when your spirit is strong in people, there's nothing that can stand against it. So let's pray for an increase in your spirit. Spirit, and even the youngest believer, the one who's just a baby believer, has just said yes to Christ. I pray that your spirit would rise up, that they would see and that the revelation would come to them of what that means to move mountains, that they have that childlike faith, that the build up of the childlike faith would allow them to not only persevere but overcome in their lives in that area, that you'd see your power to spread out. There'd be testimony after testimony of your power being displayed through others, and that this would be a springboard for your gospel going forth to that area and through the rest of Africa and in that area, that there'd be a breakthrough to the Mozambican area and also the countries around with the Muslims that are taking strongholds where this has been a stronghold of Muslims. We just pray for a breaking of that stronghold through this, that your spirit would rise up above it, that through the persecution there'd be a breaking of those strongholds, that bedrock that's been so steady and so hard there, that hardness would break down and crumble when they see the love that's poured out, the compassion and the grace and the goodness of God would be revealed through this, that your spirit of goodness and grace would overcome the spirit of anger and the hatred and the spirit of the enemy that's rising up in each person. Just pray for just an opening of your spirit and the floodgates to release in this area in Jesus' name.
Lord God, King Jesus, we thank you, Father, for today, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you will be over every nation, Father, everyone, Father, every person, Father, those that don't even know you, Lord, they will come to know you, Lord, through all the your people that go out there, Lord. I pray that you be over all the schools and the churches and all the children, Father, that you'll be over everything in the nations, Father, that you have created, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you touch every one of them. Father, I pray that you be with Heidi, Lord. I pray that you be with Maria and all the others, Father. And I pray that you will help us, Father, each one of us here, Lord, that we will continue to do your work, Lord, whatever you need done, Father, that we will move forward and do as you call us to do, Lord, and give us strength each day to do this, Father. I praise you and thank you, Lord.
Lord, I just thank you that you're moving in, Father, to those families, Lord. You're moving into those villages, that, Father, no spirit of bitterness, Lord, of anger, of unforgiveness, Father, will be able to take root. But, Father, that in the name of Jesus, there would be your love, there would be your grace. Lord, we pray, Father, for the family members that lost, Lord, family members. And, Lord, we pray that they would be strengthened. Lord, we pray your love and your compassion would surround them. Lord, that they would grieve the way that you would have them to grieve. Lord, we release comfort over them. Father, we release provision. Father, we release your love and your grace to surround them, Lord. We lift them up. Father, we lift up their hands in the Spirit. Lord, you enable them to stand. You be their strength. You come in, Lord, and you demonstrate who you are, Lord, through them and their lives, Father. Lord, for those that remain, Lord, those that have not gone on, Lord, into heaven. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would use their hearts and their lives to be a testimony of your faithfulness. That, Lord, what the enemy intended, Father, for evil, Lord, you're flipping, Father, to good. Lord, demonstrating, Lord, that you carry the heart of forgiveness. You carry the heart of redemption. Lord, you carry the heart of compassion. Lord, it's what demonstrates who you are. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, that those family members, Lord, would be raised up, Lord, to be witnesses, Father, to the Muslims, Lord, witnesses, Lord, to the militants, Lord, that, Father, in the name of Jesus, that they stand, Father, in love, sacrificial love, Lord, to those that are coming against them. And Lord, in the same way, Lord, in Jesus' name, we release the spirit of justice, Father, in Jesus' name, to come in and, Father, rule and reign over that area, Father. We thank you, Lord, for wisdom. Father, for wisdom, Lord, that no more lives would be lost, Father, in the name of Jesus. We pray, Father, for wisdom, Lord, for the government, Lord, those that are stepping in, Lord, to stop, Father, these atrocities, Father, from happening. Lord, we pray, Father, divine interruption, Lord, into the enemy's plans. Father, we speak confusion into his camp, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for, Father, you're just showing me, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for David's, Father, that rise up, Lord, with a sling. Lord, David's, Lord, against Goliath, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, they stand, Father, and they declare your goodness. And Lord, they see miraculous shifts and changes, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
God, I pray, Lord, that the spark of revival, Lord, that has been going from village to village, Lord, that it would go to the government, God, the local, the regional, the federal government, Lord, that even their decisions, God, would be influenced by you and be based on you. And Father, there wouldn't be any more fear of repercussions, God, of what would happen to the foreign missionaries or what would happen, or, Father, but that they would see, God, truly what you're doing, the amazing work, God, you're doing through them, God, through Iris Ministries, through us, God, through, God, your presence just spreading, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, for boldness, God, for the ones that remain, God, the ones that go out still, God, and go to the villages, God, that there would be boldness and they would be moved by compassion. They would be just that compassion, God, would grow and increase, God, that they would take risks, God, the risks that you call them to, and that nothing else matters but what's on your heart, God, for the villages and for the lives, the precious treasure, God, around there.
Thanks, everybody. We know that it's warm in here, and we know that it's been a long morning, and we've gone over the typical amount of time. It's typically not as long as this. I just felt that this was really on God's heart. And kids, you've been really well behaved. Thank you. Thank you for realizing that this is a serious time of Jesus speaking to us and then responding to him. So God bless you. Have a great rest of Sunday, and hopefully you are encouraged this morning. And just take this and just keep feeding into it. And as we have more updates, we'll let you know. But we just praise the Lord for a great day today and love you guys all very much. It's at M parties at the Jacques after this, right? And we do have an all-night prayer meeting on, what is it called? Watch of the Lord, thank you, on Friday. What time does it start? 9 p.m., so come on out. God bless you guys. Thank you for hanging with us all this time. It's a long one, so God bless you for that. Bye-bye.